plate a potential nugget.
And going back to the point you made about the difference between expert systems and machine learning systems, where you need to expose them to a lot of data, I guess from a consumer's perspective, given each company is in the process of opening up a hose pipe into our lives, if I may use the term, and guzzling data for their models to come up the learning curve, how should we as consumers deal with multiple people injecting their pipes into our bodies? How should we think about convenience versus privacy here?
Yeah, so especially when we talk about algorithms that serve consumers, meaning the algorithms most of us see in our lives, whether it's Google's personalized search results or Amazon's personalized recommendations or Facebook showing ads, all of these systems, at the end of the day, the machine learning relies on data. And so these companies are greedy for our data as a result. And how do we look at that trade-off? I think there's no doubt that these algorithms that are making decisions based on our data add a lot of value. The ability to find a video that's of interest to you on YouTube within, 5 seconds, versus searching and searching and finding the right kind of video, or Amazon saying, people who viewed this eventually bought that product. These are all incredibly valuable. The flip side, as you mentioned, is the privacy concern. The way I think of it is that a couple things. The first is I think we need to be less passive in terms of how we use technology. We need to be more deliberate in terms of asking how is the technology changing decisions I'm making? What is the technology trying to learn about me? What are they doing with that data? And I think we just need to not treat the technology as a black box. So I think we all need to get educated a little more about how all this works. And secondly, I think we also should ask for certain protections and demand certain protections from these companies and certain information. So in the book, I've kind of mentioned a few things. Just knowing, how are these companies using our data? What do they do with it? Can we access the data? Can we ask them to delete it? These are important things that we should demand. And when we demand it, changes do happen. Like look at Facebook's recent announcement where Zuckerberg said that they're going to start encrypting messages in the near future. And they will also create this feature where you can let your message kind of disappear after some period of time so that a message you posted 10, 20 years back doesn't come back to haunt you later in life. And so I think those are features that they're launching, not because regulation forced them to, but because ultimately there's been a lot of pressure from their users over the last year or two. And so I think it really comes down to let's use these systems because they offer a lot of value, but let's make sure we understand what they're doing with our data and let's push back when needed. And when we do that collectively, I think there are actions taken. Also, I think we should ask for some good regulation in this space. Not over-regulate the sector, but ask for some good sense regulation, which also means that we need to elect people who are savvy about technology, who are able to push for the right kinds of technology regulations as well.
And what are some of the, maybe double-clicking on that, what are some of the headline themes around the kinds of regulations you have in mind?
Yeah, so if you look at the set of issues here, you could talk about issues related to privacy, which have been around for some time, and issues related to automated decisions or algorithmic decisions, which is a newer issue that's come up. So if we look at the first one, which is privacy, there has been increasing regulatory interest there. Europe passed a regulation known as GDPR, which I believe was a bit too excessive. There's a lot of compliance requirements that companies have to meet. But it also raised awareness of the privacy issues, and it created several changes that companies made in order to comply with GDPR. And in fact, in the US, the state of California passed a lighter version of GDPR, which I like more. And it's got several interesting provisions in there. For example, the ability to inspect and ask companies what they know about us, the ability to ask them to delete certain information. So today, you know, on Google, for example, you can go in and check what Google knows about you. And Google has to share what it knows about you. And you can also uncheck certain information that Google knows about you and say, okay, forget that you know about this. So you can ask, there's a right to delete in the regulation. There's also lots of provisions about things like what they can share, with whom they can share, and so on. And so I think these are important issues for all of us to look at. And it's fairly easy to find on Google, on Facebook, all of these platforms. Not many people are aware, so not many people even use this. So I think these are some of the issues that I would kind of mention.
I see several people swinging too far to one end of the spectrum, saying they would remove themselves from these platforms and not exist on Facebook, LinkedIn, and so on. I'm not quite sure if that's a sensible strategy. The reality is that these platforms like Amazon, Google, Netflix, and so on fulfill important needs, and there's no running away from them, and they're here to stay. The real question is, how do you provide the relevant data to these platforms for them to get familiar with you and therefore present a more curated version of the world while keeping the private things private? That, however, raises a different question. When they start presenting a curated version of the world, how do you then ensure that you're exposing your mind to diversity of ideas and thoughts? That's a topic we discuss in the subsequent nugget on how we can think about driving diversity of thought in the drawing room. There's a lot of discussion about driving diversity of thought in the boardroom, but I think given AI and ML, how we ensure that we present ourselves to diverse views as an individual is as important as how we contribute in a team setting in the company. In this context, I wanted to talk about an Indian entrepreneur who's trying to solve this problem around privacy. Bijay Jayaraj, an individual with whom I had done some leadership advisory work in his previous venture, Loyalty Rewards, is working on a tech product called Home, H-O-U-M. He says that the people that store our information, photos, emails, documents, and so on the internet, are actually eavesdropping on our data to learn more about us and to sell more to us. He says that just like a bank locker, we should have a digital equivalent of a home, a piece of real estate that we own on the internet, rather than paying all kinds of rent to intermediaries who handle our data. Here's Bijay talking about his company.
Hi Deepak, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much. We think the question is not about convenience versus privacy at all. You don't have to let go of privacy to get convenience. The real question is about ownership. Ownership of your data on the internet. The way we are, the way internet is constituted today, there is no ownership at all. And as a result, there's no privacy at all. Actually, there's no scope for privacy today. You can't ask for privacy when you don't own your data. As long as your data is put on platforms owned by other large platform companies, there will never be enough privacy. No matter how much regulations governments bring about and make those platform companies promise that they would not misuse your data, there's still no privacy because at least those companies have and will see your private data, no matter what they do or don't do with your data. The second you put it on their platform, your privacy is lost. So, to achieve real privacy, you need to own your data. And that's our fundamental breakout thought. People on the internet generally called as users. We are not used to the idea of ownership of data on the internet because we have never figured out how. We individual users don't really own anything on the internet. But it's actually much simpler than people think it is. One just needs to own a server and map it to a domain name that you own, and there, you have a space on the internet that you own. And all the data there on that server is owned by you. With our product at home.me, people can get this done in less than 1 minute and in just 5 clicks. Once this much is achieved, you can decide who you will give access to and to whom you will not give access. let the platforms remain there and continue to provide us services and value adds, but only to the extent of data we decide to give them. Rest of our data will remain on our individual servers, piece of the internet that we own and nobody else has access to. So in essence, introducing the idea of ownership, learning about how you can actually own your data on the internet is the first step to privacy on the internet. At Home Technology, that's what our product does. Help people achieve true ownership of their data on the internet by allowing them to own a digital home. You can build one at home.me. That's www.home.me. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening. Please visit playtopotential.com for more podcast content. You could visit the curated playlist section on the website for specific bite-sized nuggets that are captured by themes, some of which might be relevant to you. Some of these topics include authenticity, mindfulness, reinventing yourself, navigational principles, and so on and so forth. You can also find the podcast offline on platforms like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more.